Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Okay, tonight's show. Tell me if you can relate. Sometimes you just don't feel like having sex. Totally get it. I'm going to help you find your missing sex drive. Also, if sex is bad on the first date, will it be bad forever? Did you go back for round two? What do you think? Also, are you craving more sexual experiences in your relationship? I'll share the best steps to make it happen. All this and more. More and more and more on Sex with Emily. Thanks for listening. Okay. I'm sorry if you're still in one of those cities where it's, you know, a little cold. It's going to be hot soon because right now it's like 95 degrees in Los Angeles and we're all sweating our balls off. Even people who don't have balls, they're sweating them off. So I'm here to tell you about Down Under Comfort because if you haven't checked out Down Under Comfort, it is going to save your balls, your boobs, your life, anywhere you sweat on your body that you don't want to sweat. You know those times that you're sweating, you just have no control and you're like, gosh, you know, down there you're not so fresh or under your breath and you can't stop it. You're not going to put deodorant there. Down Under Comfort is like a cream to a powder formula. It's kind of like how people use talcum powder, but this isn't messy. It's vegan, all natural, and you smell amazing all day long. If you put it on, you won't sweat because it's just gross when you can't control it. Also, Men's Health voted it the number one product you didn't know you needed. So check out Down Under Comfort. Check this out. Until May 17th, you get a free Down Under Comfort with any Ménage à Trois candle purchase with code PLEASURE. Also, anytime. Use code Emily for 20% off your first order at emilyandtony.com.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. It feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. And there's so much in between, right? Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. Happy Masturbation Month. We're about a week in. How's it going for you? How is that masturbation going for you? Anderson, I love you for so many things, and one of them is your ability to pull out the exact right sound effect at any moment.
That was a filthy one. Does this microphone work? That was
I have
filthy.
No idea.
I don't like to play bodily heard your fluids. I apologize.
You love bodily fluids. We were just talking.
What? I do
dude,
not.
Dude, you do. Because you're a dude.
I do not love bodily fluids.
Let me tell you
fluids.
How men and women differ. There's a lot of ways they differ, obviously. But one major way they differ is in their sense of humor around, like, men are like, fart jokes, poop jokes. Women
not
do not
those.
Find those interesting at all.
Yeah, no shit.
You just
I'm not...
made a cum thing.
Yeah, that's totally different from pooping.
Dude, I'm saying women don't find that funny. No one's laughing.
But
women are going gross.
It's masturbation month. So I needed something
no, it's
there.
Cute. Yeah, I like yeah. it. I know. I was actually started out complimenting you on your ability to just nail
said,
it.
Yeah, and then you said you're a chick and you don't like that kind of thing.
No, I don't like bathroom humor. That's what I'm saying.
I'm with you, sister.
Okay, whatever. I guess I'm thinking like my cat.
I hate the scat. Hate it.
Okay, so here's the deal about masturbation month. Though I actually made a commitment on a show a few weeks ago that. I was explaining the purpose of Masturbation Month. If you've never heard me talk about it, it's every May. You're like, whatever, you know, I've got my hand. I've been using it since the third grade. What the hell? And women are like, yeah, I know how to do it. I just go, and it's done. And it's what? Well, so, well, why do I need this month?
What do they do?
They go, oh, here, I got my orgasm. I touch my clitoris. I do whatever, stick my finger. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, done, got it. Okay, like, what's for dinner? But masturbation month is time to explore yourself and figure out what, like, there's so many other ways that you can feel good on your body that you don't know. So, for example, I committed a few weeks ago that this was going to be my month to explore my body and try to have a nipple orgasm.
You're also going to get a unicorn as a pet. I mean, you should aim high.
Why? No, dude, because listen, let me tell you something. You've heard me tell the story about my friend masturbated every day for 30 days, didn't have an orgasm until like the last day in college, and that's how she learned. I believe that nobody spends any time at all challenging themselves sexually about the pleasure they can feel. Like, I'm not saying challenge yourself to see how many like math problems you can do. I'm saying, what if you could have orgasms in different ways? Like, what if you could move your hand in a different way, Anderson, that felt amazing that you didn't even know because you always do it the same way? Our bodies have unlimited capacity for pleasure. Why not have this month to make it happen?
Yeah, like maybe and I've try never the committed. Down hand maybe.
I've never committed to the nipple. Okay, so it's the second most common orgasm, and I feel like I could do it. It'll be fun. What do you think? That's not going to happen.
I'm
am I embarrassing you?
That you're aiming your face high.
Am I embarrassing you?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. Wait, are you kidding me?
I never thought I could.
Come on now. Now, are you going to be honest? Look at me. Look me in the eye.
Yes.
Are you going to be honest if it happens? Or are you going to like play it up?
Yeah, totally.
Hmm?
I'm working. No, I'm committing to like I'm putting in days. I mean, I can't do it every day because anytime.
Days. You have.
Thank God it's a 31-day month and not like that hellish friggin' April.
How cool will it be if you actually break through on the 31st?
It'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And so all I'm saying is there's been certain things in my life where I have thought that. And this is what masturbation is a mouth is. I thought like I couldn't have a G-spot orgasm or I couldn't do this during intercourse. Like there's just ways a lot of women, only 30% say they can.
So you conquered
but
the G.
I learned myself. No, what I'm saying, I taught myself.
You did conquer the G-spot though.
Totally. Okay, I conquered it all, but it didn't come naturally. So what I'm saying is I had to try.
Right,
I'm
exactly. Out. What else did you defeat, overcome?
Everything. How much time do you have?
All right, well, anal orgasm? Ever have that?
No, I haven't worked on that one. Well, that's like not top of my list. That's on my bucket list.
What are you gonna? What kind of things are you gonna implement for the nipple achievement? Are you gonna use clamps? Are you gonna use like feather dusters? What
you know
are you gonna
what?
Use?
I'm just gonna say like how everyone. So no matter what you want to find out, like also all I'm saying is orgasm shouldn't be the goal. Like I found other parts of my body that are really sensitive that I didn't know were through this process of touching myself and self love, sex is masturbation.
You wash your
sex
hands
with someone
a lot.
You love. Totally, dude. Okay. I don't even do it enough. It's on my calendar schedule now. It's like masturbate pops up. That's fun in a meeting when you're plugged into a PowerPoint. So anyway, So I've experienced like different toys too that I use, like hit your labia in different ways that feel good. Like they, because the clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings, but they all stretch down. There's like nerves.
Way too much.
We're so lucky. It's double that of the penis. So we,
yeah,
and it's just these roots. It's these deep roots that you could feel so much. Like women, they can have multiple orgasms, but they just think one stopped. You know, what if you could have multiple? It's so limit. It's such a limiting belief by women because they've never had it through intercourse or through masturbating that they can't have a multiple orgasm. For example.
When a guy orgasms, though, there's a very good possibility he's creating life. When a girl orgasms, it's like, oh, good for you. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, right.
It's really kind of pointless.
What do you mean you're creating life if you're alone?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, not alone, but
if you're
sex.
Having sex.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Like our orgasm, like, creates life, like, makes the species move forward.
And what is ours just a waste? Oh, you're saying ours is useless. Yeah, 8,000 different things are a waste. No, because women have really hard in life, and we should have something that's just, like, really fun.
Those
really
heels
pleasurable.
Hurt. Those feet.
Oh, dude, don't get me started on that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying for guys, too. You're like, well, what can I do? You know? I always talk about, like, the Fleshlight. And it's not just because, like, I work with them as a sponsor and they love the show and I love them. It's because I know guys who've tried it. They're like, oh, that's pretty cool. I've been using my hand forever. You could explore your anus. Whatever. We don't have to get into it all. But what I'm telling you is I'm teaching – what the point is, I'm teaching a masturbation month workshop at Hustler Stores May 15th, 7 to 9. And last workshop was so cool because I don't do a lot of workshops. And I really enjoyed it because I got to meet all these listeners. You know, like you do your After Disaster live show.
Yeah, we've done a couple of them.
Right. And people come and they love you. They buy a t-shirt. Like I don't do, so this
one,
was fun.
One girl fainted.
Because she met you?
Fainted because she met us. Yes.
See what I mean?
And fire department
so
had to come. Yeah,
I like sit
cool.
in a room with you doing podcast. Really?
It's a true story, yeah.
When she met you.
Us. Mainly Mike Carano, to be honest. But yes.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. See, dude, so rock star. You're a rock star.
We're like
so,
the Beatles, pretty much. Yeah.
You are.
We're modern day Beatles.
So I'm going to do it. Last time it was so fun. I got to meet a lot of people. There was like 200 people there. We have champagne.
Honest.
What?
On how many percentage-wise, how many of them are creepy?
None.
What?
And here's the
come
weird
on,
thing.
Come on. Dude, your listeners, there's got to be a percentage.
See, okay, can I just tell you something? That is one of the complete, like,
misnomers?
Yeah, misnomers, I guess. Or that's one of the myths about my show. People think that there's, like, creepy guys, like, that are, like, sitting up. Maybe they are sitting up jacking off. I don't know. But when they come to my events, everyone's, like, really, like, there was men, women, couples. Like, there was no creepers. We didn't have to call the police.
You didn't see them. They're hiding in the bushes.
You could see them. It's a huge store. And people, it's bright lights and there's security. And if they were, like, jacking off in the corner, they'd be kicked out.
I can see. I mean, it makes sense. The After Disaster, the Film Vault, those shows are not about sex. And we have, I'd say, conservatively, 20% are creepy. Creepy listeners.
But you guys are creepy.
No, we're not creepy at all.
Oh, okay.
We're well, honest. Then I'm not we're sure. open and honest.
Well, so am I. But you're right. And my topic is about sex. So it's ironic that my listeners are normal. I mean, not
that
normal. I hate that word. That my listeners don't seem creepy.
Well-adjusted.
They're well-adjusted people who just want to learn about sex. So the last workshop was fun because Hustler Hollywood, if you haven't been, it's a cool store. It's legendary. And it's – people think Hustler, they think like porn magazine.
It's still got that
it's
image.
It's a classy store. I got
it's
it. It's like they've got every toy that I – so I'm going to do that, teach a workshop. But I'm getting into it. I have a vulva puppet.
What?
A vagina puppet.
Does it have a name?
You know what? I should name
Viola
my vulva.
Viola the vulva.
Okay, email me feedback at sexwithemily. What should I name my vulva puppet? But it's cool because I'm going to get into like these different parts of your bodies that you didn't know existed for pleasure. And then I'm going to walk you through all the fun stuff, toys I talk about after I give my workshop about the toys you might like to buy, the ones I talk about. You can actually see them. And champagne and giveaways and good times. RSVP, HARSVP at LFP.com.
What day of the week is
that? LarryFlintProductions.com. What?
What day of the week is that?
It is a Friday night.
Oh, good.
It's May 15th, 7 to 9.
Right across the street from the world famous Whiskey A Go-Go.
Exactly. Let's all go for drinks after. Yeah. Masturbate or have a be inappropriate.
That right? probably would not be appropriate. But you could leave it out there for a possibility.
Okay. Will you come?
I...
See?
I get it.
Zell jokes. Okay, there's one more thing. Okay, you guys, I'm trying to like not talk about this stuff at the beginning of the show because I really just want to get on with helping you with your sex life. But the one more thing I have to mention, because if I don't now, I'll forget. May 12th, which is before this, which is a Tuesday, and it's the day after Anderson's birthday. Correct?
Good memory, kid.
I want to buy you a drink, and I'm doing a... You know, like when you listen to podcasts, you go see Anderson's podcast. Someday I'll do a Sex with Emily podcast. I'm going to be a guest on For Crying Out Loud, Lynette Carolla's podcast, and it's going to be live May 12th, Tin Horn Flats in Hollywood off Highland Avenue. Doors open at 6. It's 8 p.m. It's free admission. And you can't even RSVP, so just show up. It's going to be awesome because she's hilarious. It'll be a good time. I'm the guest on the show. Love it.
Okay. She's such a sweet lady. I love her.
I love her. She's hilarious. Her show's so fun. I know. Love that woman. And it's going to be really fun and funny. And just let's hang out and have a drink. Okay. Today's show, we got a lot to cover. What?
She's overcome some crazy sexual stuff.
Would as far as
she actually has sex with Adam Carolla, and she's even procreated with him. I mean, can you imagine? You're trying to find the nipple orgasm. She found the Carolla orgasm somehow.
Dude, she loves him, finds him sexy. But she was on my podcast. You guys should all listen to this podcast. It was awesome. It was a very popular. It came out a few weeks ago, and she said, "You know what one of her secrets is?" In this month,
closing her eyes and pretending it's someone else.
She never says no to the blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
Married for 20. They've been together 20 years.
Never.
Never.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with her.
I worked with Carolla for years and years, and many funny things, but one of his funnier things that he'd go to often is he'd explain to the lady listeners and callers that he receives really good oral. He receives a really good, he would show like his style, how he would do it. See, I like to put my hands behind my head and tilt back. Yeah,
he did? Like, this was years ago?
Years ago, yeah. He would always talk about what great oral he receives.
It's
funny.
Right, and she, whatever, and she talked a lot about their sex life and she's just fucking hilarious.
I love her.
So the show will be fun. So everyone may just show up. Tin Horn Flats. I think it's on my website. Or it's my Twitter, Sex with Emily. You can find it. Okay. I've got some sex in the news for you, Anderson. And I'm glad you're here. Because I think this is like a really important study that came out. And I'd like to talk to you about it.
Let's do it.
Men like morning sex. Women like it late at night.
That is absolutely true.
Don't you think? Mm-hmm. But there's scientists who spend good money and time actually proving it.
Who's,
now,
who's
I just
money?
Thought.
It's so weird.
Who knows? Universities, I'll tell you. So I think it's obvious. Like, men wake up with a boner and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, let's have sex. Isn't that like why you have that? You're like in the morning that you're like, this would be natural. I'm already hard. Let's go.
for me, because it's a good motivator to get out of bed. It's a great way to start your day. And a lot of the time, I'm go, go, go. I would think that you are, too. By the end of the day, it's just like, I'm really fucking tired. I don't want to do a bunch of work right now.
Right. And it feels like work to you.
At that time, sometimes, yes. Like at the end of a
18-hour day. You feel like I got to do this, I got to do that. I don't want to do foreplay.
Yeah. Plus, I don't, you know, half-ass it.
How about the weekends?
Weekends is like whenever it goes.
So, okay. Yeah. So listen, women are night owls when it comes to passion in the bedroom, while men favor the early morning approach. I'm like, no shit. But a new study has shown that women most desire sex, and this breaks it down to the times of day, at 11:21 p.m., but men's optimum time for passion is more than 15 hours earlier at 7:54 a.m.
This is terrible news for me.
Why?
Because my wife is never with me at 11:21.
Oh, never. You're on Loveline every night till midnight.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm glad she still loves you.
Not
despite,
cool.
Despite a busy day in the office or running errands, the fairer sex are most likely to feel passionate between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m., while men are far more inclined to feel sexy before midday. Though, with the preferred time slot of between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. Don't wake my ass up. Like, if I'm sleeping still, just have sex if you're going to work. You know what I mean? I like both. I got to be honest. But I don't like when, if I don't want to, you guys wake up. It's like the dick in the back. You've heard of that.
Yeah, I've heard of that. You don't.
But I usually, I'm just saying if I'm sleeping. You know what? I actually don't. Can I be honest? This is really revealing. I like morning sex too. Mm-hmm. I don't like to say no. I can get
Emily.
Into it.
We're going to assume.
Yeah, but like, but honestly, you guys, there's something that I don't like. But I'm actually into it. I'm like, you know what? Why not start the day with it? Like you just said, right? Great
you
way
like
to start
it,
the day.
You like it when you wake up and it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's so fun. I'm like, great. I'm in.
Some of the best sex ever is like when you're both asleep and then you're both kind of start happening. You know, it starts happening when you're kind
it's
of
the
unconscious.
Best. Oh, that's hot. Oh, yeah. Awesome. I love that. So what I'm saying is I love it. It's kind of like I always say that sex is like you don't want to go to the gym and then you go and you're glad you went. Like I wish I could wake up and my workout's over too. But,
like you,
you
say,
know.
Yeah. You've said you've never had sex and then regretted it afterwards.
Which ever.
I mean, you do with strangers a lot.
Well, yeah, like creepy. When I sleep with my creepy listeners, sometimes
right.
that's
yeah.
really weird.
On the couch.
On my couch, exactly. So it's no wonder that couples and others can struggle to maintain a healthy sex life. They feel frisky at different times. Is this the solution? This is the thing that's going to change lives. The difference in sex's optimum moment for passion is revealed in a new survey. 2,300 people looked at the sex drives. Let's see what it says. Desire levels for women throughout the day reach their peak, like I said, between 11 and 2 a.m. Okay,
is that daylight savings time?
Yeah, I don't know. 68% of women and 60. I wonder if there is like a moment in daylight. No, there is no overlap. Maybe when they travel abroad and they have jet lag. 68% of women and 63% of men have dated someone whose sex drives were different from their own, which is totally common. And it's not even about times of day, but it's just even, you know, how often you want to have sex and stuff. So there's a difference how couples sex drives vary over week. But the encouraging part of the study, this is not going to be a bummer. Men are ready for sex just before breakfast, whereas women, most on passion, last thing at night. And what is encouraging, most people tend to find sexual happiness in the end with a partner with similar needs. So I don't know if that's like they're saying that you got to find a night owl if you're a night owl, or you just compromise. You're like, three nights a week, we'll do it in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you do?
I change clocks. Like I change her watch and her bed.
But don't you think it's about I don't think this is going to be like the deciding factor in a relationship.
Nah,
but
especially if you're married.
I think it's more important if you don't like doing the same things besides it. Like if you don't have the same rhythms as far as just how you move through life. Like you like to.
That's every relationship though. And it sucks when sex is, you know.
Sex low does that mean. Is a bummer when there's a problem with it.
When you don't line up sexually, even if it is, and there's so many different ways to line up or not line up sexually, but time is a big factor. I mean, I've experienced it. I'm experiencing it now.
Most people, that is one of the biggest killers. So what I'm saying is either, how can you, was it
but
always,
if you're a guy,
was it like this since
want,
the beginning? But you do have sex then when you don't want to.
Yeah, like at night, if that's when it's, and she doesn't like to do it in the morning, she doesn't feel sexy. A lot of women
Did
don't
she say
feel
no?
sexy.
I know. But I say women just go for it sometimes. Like, I think if you give in every once in a while, then you're getting the variety of having sex at different times.
There's really never like a no in a relationship. We'll do it, but we don't, you know, that's the key to a lot of relationships as well, is you do things you don't necessarily want to do. And then like Emily says, once you start, you're happy.
Right. Okay. And I'm going to put this on my website so you can all read the study because it's interesting because it breaks down.
Yeah, where did the study come
day.
From?
You
gotta cite these fuckers.
No, dude. Okay, so Love Honey, which is the biggest sex research distribution, sex toy distribution company. So I will put it up there, but it also breaks down to like 6 to 9 a.m., 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., like the best times of day you should all, whatever. So, you know, it's just interesting because mismatched libidos, different times of day, couples have, you know, let's try to work this one out. One problem at a time. Pornhub, this is a funny one. Did you hear this? Buys a guy a new laptop after he smashed it to hide porn from his mom.
How did they find out? Were they watching?
Check this. Denzel Michael was browsing Pornhub when it froze, just as he heard his mother coming up the stairs. He claims he had no other recourse than to smash the laptop. Smash it. But now Pornhub is offering to buy him a new computer. Because he posted it on Instagram. Although the sticker-covered laptop is a joke because it's a picture of the laptop they're sending him. They're serious about getting Michael a new laptop. We appreciate his loyalty, as well as his clear sense of judgment in picking our site as a digital destination for some adult whatever. Dude, I'm sure his parents are going to be thrilled.
I don't think they're going to be reading about Pornhub.
Who knows? As a result...
He's kind of an idiot, though.
Why? Because he smashed it?
You just close it.
No, but this is the thing. Let me tell you why I thought the same thing. They wrote, as a result, we would like to send him a brand new laptop alongside some awesome Pornhub swag to use for his continued pleasure. Here's the thing. A lot of parents stalk their kids' phones. Like, there's parents who do checks, like, once a week on their kids' laptops. Like, maybe he's got these serious... Yeah, just close it. But what if his mom's like, oh, let me see. Who knows?
Yeah, it's bad.
No, I hear about this all the time. They check it every night. They know the...
I used to have this whole system where like I had like a very innocuous website at the bottom, minimized. And then if anyone would come in, I could easily just like open that one up, you know, full screen it.
Yeah. So
then I
would Everyone's have, like, got their systems.
Like Sesame Street or something. You know, something very innocuous, like horses. But I never came to
Clear
that.
Clear browser
never
history.
Never came to that. You hear people coming and you just...
That's true. But now he's like, I don't know how old he is. But how many other men now are going to smash their laptops to get a free... I don't think they're going to do it all the time.
No. That, obviously, Pornhub just wanted the story to continue. So they came with a response and they're giving him a laptop and they're getting a bunch of free publicity for it.
Totally.
Pornhub.
I know. Whatever. Pornhub. Now we're giving them free. Oh, you do?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Can I ask you a question about
Uh-oh.
That?
Uh-oh.
So when you're surfing for porn, would you say that you regularly, like, it's always the same thing, that your go-to, like, on this day, that? Or is it more like you don't even know what you're going to look for when you get sit down?
Yeah,
or
when you get to my age, you kind of...
Like, are you planning it on your drive home?
Very few frontiers.
Are you like, I might search for white...
No, I'm not on my way home.
So right when you get to the... I want to know when the decision process is what you're going to watch
actually,
that night.
I just recognized this the other day, and God damn it, my wife, she will kill me if she ever hears it.
She doesn't listen.
No. She doesn't listen to my shows, so...
Right, totally.
I don't know about you, but like there's certain bars that I go to, and whenever I go to that bar, I have that drink.
Right.
Like this bar, I only drink beer. That
Absolutely.
Bar, I have Jameson's. This bar, I always like order a 7 and 7. For what? The only time I ever have ginger ale is when I'm flying on a plane. I don't know why, but that's different places in the house, different devices. That dictates what kind of porn I'm going to look at. I don't know why.
Like when you're on the iPad, you
like
blank.
If I'm sneaking around, the wife's asleep, you know, late at night, and I'm on the couch, I'm going to look at certain things. And if I'm in the back guest room, which I never do, to
when
my
you
guests,
feel safer,
I'll look at different stuff. I don't know if it's safer. If I'm looking on my phone, I'll go to this. You know what I mean?
Well, like give me an example, like different, like anal is more on here, and threesome is more on there, that kind of thing.
It's always amateur variety, always.
Amateur variety.
I can't stand women who get dressed up to look sexy and then have sex on the camera and they're looking at the camera. I hate it. I can't
stand it. Just the amateur stuff, which there's so much of it, right?
The amateur stuff's awesome.
It is still.
Even a lot of it's fake.
Right, exactly. These days, but you know what? Who cares? They're making it look good, right?
I told you the wife. She looked at the browser history. She was looking for something. She was totally
I'm
innocent.
Sure.
This was years ago when we first started living together, and she found amateur facials. And because like, she was typing in something in the computer, and it was back before I really knew my way around a computer. This is like 6-7 years ago, and it would type up, you know, it would autofill whatever was most recently looked at. And she, like, her heart was like, oh, that's so sweet. He's looking up ways to give me a
facial. Oh, my
facial.
God, that's hilarious. Buy me a spa treatment.
Yeah. But she thought I was writing, like, looking for amateur style, like how I could do it on my own for cheap. And then the site actually popped up and she realized it was far from that.
How many women have been in that position?
Probably
I always say that clear your browser histories, people. Okay.
No, just use Chrome and go incognito. You don't have to worry about anything. It's fantastic.
Okay. That's great. You know, that might be the biggest tip of sex
Chrome.
That we've ever given to anyone.
Chrome? Use the Chrome browser.
Chrome browser.
Incognito. And Bing is actually not a great search engine for many things, but it is the best for porn.
Who the hell uses Bing?
No one. Porn users.
Only for porn.
I read an
article
they found
their
the
niche.
Other day. I saw an article, and they were talking about how Bing became capitals of porn, and they're right.
You know what? They're probably happy. They're like, what the hell? We weren't doing well. And you know what? Sex sells.
You got to go where
you got to go where the money is.
Audience is yeah.
All right, Bing.
Because
I was like, what the hell is? I even hate when Bing just. I'm like, I didn't want to know about you, Bing.
Bing tried so hard. Remember when they were trying really hard?
Yeah.
How do you Bing? But they'll have like thumbnails, and then you put the cursor over it, and most of them will show you a little preview without actually clicking on it. Which
only
is
on Bing, dude. You're like a Bing.
Bing is pretty great.
I didn't know that Bing's turned for porn, but you know what? Eventually, we all turn to sex anyway. That's great. Good for them. Great business model. Okay, let's get into some emails.
This is all secondhand information my friend tells me about, by the way.
He's dude, a total I, deviant, that's good to know. If miscreant. I was still porn, I just, I really do. I'm going to be watching more porn this month.
Well, if you're
going
to get that nipple
going,
you're going to have to do something.
I know. You know what's funny? I wouldn't even have brought up the nipple thing because you know when you're doing a show that you often, sometimes when you're in the moment, you don't really remember. I mean, the show, I know I'm in the zone, but sometimes you leave and you're like, I don't remember what happened or what
no
I said.
No idea what happened, yes.
Right? Everyone agrees to this who's on the radio. Mm-hmm. So my new intern today said to me, Lori, she was like, oh, so we're talking about masturbation month in the office. And she said, oh, so right, you're going to get your nipple orgasm. I was like, what? She goes, yeah, you said it on the show like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh my God, I got to follow through with that. So thank God they listen.
Yeah, I get such strange. Remember when you were talking about how whales without legs look like penises? I'm like, nope. Look like sausages? No, I don't remember saying that.
Exactly. I'm like, anything's possible. I might have, but I don't remember. Okay, so everyone, we've been getting a lot of great emails lately because I love hearing from you and I read all your emails, feedback@sexwithemily.com. And a lot of them we answer and we're just getting a system in place where we're actually going to be, we want to let you know that we read it. Hopefully you're just listening to the two shows a week that come out. But believe me, we've probably answered it if you've emailed us. And we're trying to get to them all. Until I die, I will answer every single one. But before we get into the first one about what the hell to do about your missing sex drive, I need to talk to you for a second about something that's super, super important. And it's beyond masturbation. It has to do with toys. Oh, no, it isn't. It actually works with masturbation. Good vibrations, you guys. Okay, bought my first vibrator there, learned how to have my first orgasm from the vibrator I bought there, like my second one. They're amazing, and they also are not just a store. It's the best place to buy toys online. Go to goodvibes.com. And if you click on the banner on my site, you can see, like, all my favorite toys. I tell you, down there, I've tried them all, and you'll know, like, oh, for clitoral, for couples, you'll just love it. Check it. And then they carry all the best brands. And the magic wand, which you heard me hear me talk about, Anderson, you plug it into the wall. You know the magic wand. Cadillac
ball
vibrators.
Yeah, they got the cordless now, right?
Yes. It's coming out like any friggin' minute. I don't know if it's out at like this week or next week. So you got to get the cordless one. One of my new favorites is the WeVibe Tanga, which is like, I just wrote a blog about it. It's just this little bullet vibrator that just has kind of changed my life and my whole view on bullet clitoral vibrators. But, you know, read the blog. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Good Vibrations banner, and also use code GVEMILY20 for $20 off your order of $200 or more. Get 15% off with code Emily.
GVEMILY.
Yeah.
Good Vibes Emily.
GVEMILY20. And just go to sexwithemily.com. Love you all. Mean it. Thank you. Okay. Missing sex drive. feedback@sexwithemily.com. Thanks for emailing me. Hi, Emily. My question is about my sex drive. I've never really had one and was wondering if there are ways to increase this. I'm 25 and sometimes I feel like I should want sex more than I do. I've tried masturbating more, and as I never orgasmed before, my friends convinced me to buy a vibrator, which has helped a lot. Although I still have never orgasmed during intercourse or even when I masturbate without my vibrator. Also, when I'm having sex with someone, it takes me a little while to get wet. Even when I masturbate, I have to always use lube. Is this normal? I've asked my doctor about vaginal dryness, and she just brushed me off. Any advice or help you could give me would be greatly appreciated, Celeste. Why are you laughing?
I love the idea of a doctor just brushing her off.
Well,
after she asks probably a very uncomfortable, hard-to-ask question.
Well, you know the thing that most medical doctor, like your gynecologist, whoever you go to, I mean, I've heard they have like one class on sexuality, like really, that gets one class maybe that they skip. Who knows? And they don't know how to talk about a lot of them. And
how is that people, all allowed?
Because, you know, they're learning about how to give you open heart surgery. I don't know. But they don't get trained in like how do you talk to people about sex?
A gynecologist would know a lot.
Okay, maybe your gyno's better than your general practitioner.
I could do the general practitioner.
Sorry. I shouldn't say your gyno. I should say your general practitioner. Your gyno probably knows more than most. But here's the thing. And I think the gyno should try to bring it out of you. That if any doctor does, it does. But for men not going to a gynecologist, it's really uncomfortable to talk to your doctor too, man to man, to bring it up. And then sometimes when you do, they're kind of like, I don't know, take this pill or whatever. You know, it's just.
I have a really attractive doctor. She's Russian.
But you don't want to tell her about your sexual dysfunction?
No, I don't. Well, I don't have any yet, but I'm worried about that. I'm worried about the prostate exam.
Yeah, exactly.
Are
you worried
about
it or are you like counting the days?
Yeah, part of me is like, hey, I have a little bit of an issue. I'm going to go make an appointment. Whereas like if it was just some old man with bad breath, I don't know if I'd make an appointment.
Everybody, they don't tell the sex. Yeah, I use condoms every single time. You know what I'm saying? People lie. Yeah. So they lie to their doctors, or they don't want to talk about sex with their doctors, although you are looking forward to it. You have a hot Russian. That's not a good idea.
Hot Russian doctor.
Is that why you go to her? No, she's really good.
Sometimes I go a little more often than I should, but I think it's good. I think it works out, right? It's like when I was a kid and I wouldn't want to go to school.
But did you get a bone? Like, is it the point where you get erect?
No, no. But she did spit a little bit in my mouth.
What? Making out
with
you?
She was talking to me and she was looking in my mouth. I had my mouth open and she was talking to me and a little bit of spit flew out of her mouth and went into mine and she was mortified. She was
really?
So sad, like worried and upset and concerned.
Did you like lick it and say, I will taste this spit forever?
I have not eaten anything or gargled since.
Exactly. It's been like a year and a half. Okay, so... Why the hell? Oh, doctors. Her doctor brushed her off. I'm like, where the hell are you? The doctor brushed her off. And I think that, like, she's like, oh, you're fine or whatever. I just think also doctors are busy these days. They see always, but, you know, they got a patient going and they often don't take the time, which is why you should listen to my show. Email me, go see, you know, try to find some good resources. There are people who can help you with questions like me and others in your world, and it might not be your doctor, but you should try anyway. Whatever. I don't know what I'm fucking saying. Let's just answer your question. Here's the thing, Celeste. You have to stop shooting all over yourself. She's what? Shooting. She's shooting. I should do this. I should do that. Why don't I want this? Why don't I want that? Shooting.
I've never heard that. I'm not sure if I'm a fan of it.
I should do. Why? Because it sounds like something bad.
It's
like the potty joke. Well, here's the thing. Putting unnecessary pressure and stress on yourself does more harm than good. We all know that. So just chill, because having low sex drive is the most common sexual challenge that most women face. Are you under stress? Are you taking medications? Any depression, anxiety, self-confidence issues? All these factors affect your sex drive, having issues with your spouse. It happens. Happens to men too, right, Anderson? Sometimes you just don't want sex. Or never, that never happens.
Not at night. I don't like it.
Happens with women more, I gotta say. So you gotta figure out, you gotta get to the bottom of it. You can go to your doctor, get a checkup. You know, if you find out that it's meds, you could get them altered. You can just try, you know, different like estrogen, testosterone therapy. But you're only 25 years old. So here's the thing. I think that you're really overthinking this and worried a lot about it, where I think you're still exploring your body, which I love. It's totally acceptable that you had your first orgasm with a vibrator and you haven't been able to orgasm with someone else. Welcome to the club. It happens.
That's most women, right?
Yeah, it's totally fine. You're on your sexual way. Happy Masturbation Month. Go to it. So use lots of lube. Right, Anderson? We love lube. Lube should be on every single nightstand. Lube can help you have orgasms when you're masturbating. It can help enhance the experience. You don't get as wet, okay? That is completely normal for women and fine. Using lube is highly recommended.
That's why there is lube.
That's why
for
lube
women
exists.
That don't get wet.
But you know,
there's
my big
a lot of lube out there.
Exactly. And my reasoning with lube is that a lot of women feel shame because there is a stigma attached to it, where they think, well, he's going to think I'm not turned on, or there's a problem, and I don't want to hurt his feelings, so therefore I don't want to bring out the lube. And
stop
a guy,
worrying about guys. They're fine.
They do, though. But the guys don't want to pull out the lube because they're like, oh, I'm not making her wet, and I don't want to even recognize that that's happening. But let me tell you something, guys. There's certain times a month where women will be really turned on. Doesn't matter. Same thing. Having sex, she did the same thing this time, and then a week later, she's not. Our bodies change over time. Our bodies change from week to week, and so just use friggin' lube. Here's the other thing. If you're using your toys, water-based lube is always best. And another thing, maybe you're not getting enough foreplay, finally. Like, I mean, I get that you're not wet, but have you ever thought, like, are you warming up? Is he going down on you? How's the foreplay going? Figure that part out, too. So there's lots of things here. Don't trip on any of this. You are exactly where you need to be. Just keep exploring, having fun, use lube, communicating, good times. Sex drive, we're going to get it back. Figure out all those things and go see your doctor. We should check out if you haven't. Okay. Emily. If a girl has sex with a guy and she thinks it was horrible, what are the chances of her doing it again with that guy?
This is obviously from
Joe.
A guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I also want to say, when you email me, please tell me where you live and how you listen to the show and how
old
you are. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Joe, I got good news for you. Women are not as worried about it as you think. It's the first time really that great with anyone. Usually if it is, it's because like it's the newness or you were wasted or whatever. But really the first time is not as good as like...
The first time is just more about the act actually being completed.
It's more like the anticipation.
We've been there now. We've crossed that threshold and now we get to move on and actually do things and, you know, try different things.
Exactly.
The first one is just getting across the line.
Right. It's not often that great for anyone. And if you challenge me on this, I'll say, you know, maybe you were drinking or yeah, it was
the only
anticipation.
Time the first one has to be great is if you know it's going to be the last one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if it's a one-night stand, make sure that it's really good.
Like a buzzkill one-night stand if you like can't get it up or something, and you're afraid they're going to like put it out on Twitter or something.
Right. Well,
it's a problem. I wouldn't do that. Yeah. Okay, so don't worry about it. Women are far more lenient than you think, Joe. Like, we're not thinking, like, even if you, like, ejaculated too quickly, I don't know why you were bad, actually. This is what I kind of want to know what he did because he didn't tell me. I'm thinking, like, women are pretty forgiving about sex, you know, unless you insisted on, like, trying on her underwear or something or, you know, called her by the wrong name more than once. They're, you know, okay, we're pretty lenient, even if you can't, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. I think that ladies are very. Some girls might be turned on by
the end of it. We're super lenient and we're cool about it. So,
but you guys do talk more about it than guys.
We talk about it, but here's the thing. If she likes you, she was in bed with you, and you didn't do anything that was super offensive, I'm sure it's fine. Do you have a history together? Yeah. Well, was she laughing at your junk and then she laughed? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, what happened? I think it's fine. Don't overthink this. You're totally tripping on it. And so, you know, it really depends, you know, and also like how she feels. Ask her out again, but don't worry about it. And also, I was going to say, if she's willing to try it again in the bedroom, let her take the lead. Pay more attention this time. See what she wants. Move slowly. All that stuff. But I think you're going to get a second round. Guys, we all worry about this stuff. But believe me. Yes, if five times it was really bad, then, you know, I'd say it's time to call it quits. One time, don't trip. Okay, non-latex condoms. Dear Emily, I listen to your show frequently, and I have a question. I'm going to hook up with a girl who's allergic to latex. I've heard you talk about your favorite non-latex condom. What is it? Thanks, Glenn. Well, Glenn, I'm going to tell you. It's Skin. It's SKYN condoms, and they're made of polyisoprene, which is a non-latex material, which is, you know, super durable. And it actually, like, they come lubricated. They come in a bunch of different kinds, but they truly, like, their tagline is, like, the closest thing to wearing nothing. And literally, they actually feel like you're wearing nothing, and they feel really good, and they're durable, and I love them, because the thing about latex is the more you're exposed to latex, you could actually develop a latex allergy over time. So just go Safe and get Skin. I think they're great. You can get them at like drugstores and all over.
That's strange that the more that you're exposed to it,
yeah,
the more,
like doctors and
usually,
stuff,
like it's the other way around.
Using,
like,
latex gloves.
Like, you know, like, if you ease your way into something, your body gets used to it and builds up a resistance,
right,
to it. But
not latex. Yeah, and they also have, I just like the way they're packaged. They have large ones for the larger male. They have lubes, all that stuff.
I wonder what sells best. I bet the big ones sell best.
Do you think guys just lie and they like cut them? I mean, but the thing is, what if you bought those just to look tough? That is, we were talking about this. My friend, she's like, you know what really pissed off her new boyfriend? Oh my God, was this Brandy Glanville maybe? Oh, Brandy Glanville. Do you know she is from Real Housewives?
Yeah, yeah.
She was on my show last week. Oh, so funny. She was like something about, she's like, her new boyfriend found condoms in her drawer. And she was like, you know, he wasn't so pissed about that. He was just pissed that they were Magnum.
They were bigs.
Yeah, that's always a bummer for guys. Like, oh, that actually won't fit me. Very funny.
Do they sell like small condoms, like
no,
extra small?
No, those
they
would
should,
never ever
there
sell.
There are micro phallus penises out there.
Dude, you don't want any condom that says small
and
anywhere around it. You
don't
want a book that says small around it. You want nothing on your nightstand that says small.
Ex-girlfriends that would love to buy them as parting gifts. Parting gifts. You know what I mean?
Mail them a box of really tiny little condoms.
I got girls from like my past that would probably like love to send me some small condoms just as a fuck you every now and again, like on my birthday.
Because you have a small penis or just to make you
feel
bad?
Just to be bitches.
Yeah, exactly. Women, jerks. That's what they do. They go right for the penis. So check those out. Okay. Emily. I'm 27-year-old male. I'm listening from Wollongong, Australia.
Well done.
Thank you. I've been listening for about 6 months now. I love the show. I think you're doing a great job. My question is in regards to lack of sexual experience. I was with my high school sweetheart for 7 years, closely followed by another long-term relationship for 3 years. My only other sexual experience being a single one-night stand. I'm currently in a year relationship with the girl of my dreams. She got pregnant the first time we slept together, and our daughter is now 3 months old. We had committed to each other before we found out she was pregnant, so we aren't just in it because of that. My partner has a lot more sexual experience than I do, ranging from sex with multiple people to bisexuality to many different scenarios, i.e. threesomes and stuff. And alike, he actually said. And while I don't care that she has experienced this, I'm rather glad she had the chance to. I find myself jealous that I haven't had the chance to try any of this myself. I should also say that I consider myself bi-curious, though never had the opportunity to go any further than fantasy. I know, Anderson, it's getting hot in here. It's getting building here. Our sex life is great otherwise. We own a few sex toys, i.e. vibrators, fleshlight, basic bondage, and plenty of lubes. We are very open with each other. She knows all this. She doesn't like the idea of non-monogamy, so that's out of the question. My question is, does this jealousy I'm feeling pass? Is there a way to get past it myself? Or do I just have to suck it up and deal with the everlasting curiosity? Would love any comment you have on my situation. Cheers, B. Thanks for an amazing show. Okay. What? Your face says it all.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Dude, there are so many multi-layers here. So here's the thing, B.
How old's B?
People tell me how friggin' old you are.
An Australian.
27. He told me. He wins. You win, B. He's 27 and told me where he lives in Australia. Okay. I love him.
That's plus 10 years, though, because Australian life is tough. So 37.
Dude, you can't do that. Okay. You need to ask yourself, B, do you think you'll ever be able to accept the fact that you aren't able to explore these curiosities? Because then you'll have to make peace with it. In my opinion, I don't think these feelings will ever completely go away until you have the opportunity to fulfill the desires on your own. Like, I think he's not going to be. And if you're bisexual, can we just get to the bisexual part? I mean, if you think you're bisexual and you've never tried, I mean, let's look at, like, Bruce Jenner, for example. Came out as transgender. Did you watch that whole thing? I can't
believe
you haven't even talked about it.
I watched the interview.
I mean,
which was not my style, but I'm like, you know what? Everyone's going to be talking about this. I'm sick of
being on the
outside.
I can't believe we didn't friggin' talk. I feel like such a... We have to,
it's okay.
Here's the point.
Everyone else.
Everyone else has, you guys. You all know. But what I'm saying is these kind of things, like you're young, you're... What I know from, you know, the work I do is that typically it will not go away. You might repress it for a while, but it's something that you want to experience.
Plus, so, you know what? With the bisexual for guys, I don't know if you agree with me here, but maybe this is wrong to say or think, but I think most guys that consider themselves bi, they're gay.
Yeah, or they're whatever, people don't believe in bisexuality. There's some exploring.
I think that
do.
Women can love or be attracted to other women too, because you guys are the attractive species.
Right.
I mean, attractive sex.
No, typically on the spectrum, like if you look at like the Kinsey spectrum, the whole thing. I mean, women are more fluid in our sexuality.
Right.
We're like the spectrum. Men are usually like in the Kinsey of sexuality, 1 to 10. You know the
right.
whole scale.
Yes, yes, yes.
Men are more like 1. Women can be like 3, 4, 5. Like
right.
we're loose.
Because
men,
you
if you're
guys
bisexual,
are good looking.
Right. No, it's not. It goes deeper than that. That's like surface level. But listen, I think this isn't going to go away. So I think, and you said you tell her everything. You tell her that you think you're bisexual. You said you wanted to have some of these experiences, but have you told her the bisexual thing? So you got to get on that. Regarding the jealousy, not sure this is going to subside either. If it's not just jealousy, and I want to know, is it just jealousy or you really want to try these things? Because that's totally different. If you're just jealous, like there's some guys who are like, I can't believe you slept with all these guys and you had all these penises in your mouth and you're given 62 blowjobs. Or you're jealous because you're like, damn, I want to experience that
stuff. Jealous on both sides, probably.
Yeah, so it's like all of it. There's a lot going on here, and so I just think you have to kiss his wife. He's got to communicate with her. But I don't trip on the fact that you don't have as much experience as her, but just trip on the fact that you look at the fact that you actually want to try these things. And there has to be some serious communication going on with her, and I would just bring it up. You've got nothing to lose. You guys are married. You're together, and time to do it. She's married, right? Yeah, totally. Okay, whatever, you're in a long-term relationship. You got to talk. I don't even care if you guys have been together for one night let me put it this way. If you've been together for 3 months, you should be talking about your sex life. You should be talking about your desires and what you want and all that stuff. So people wait way too damn long.
And you got to figure it out for the kid, for the kid's sake. You got to figure it out. Even if that means therapy and totally being open and honest, you got to think about the kid first
before your
sexual charges.
Yeah, I was just looking. I was like, wait, were they married? Yeah, you have the kid. Exactly. I mean, so, yeah. Because
God obviously approves of your relationship.
So congratulations. We were talking about first-time sex. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes you have a baby.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, for the sake of the kid, you got to do whatever it takes.
You do have to do whatever it takes to make this work. And I'm telling you, it's not going to go away. I want you to stay with her. And I want you guys to maybe get some sexual things. You know, you can see a sex therapist, see a relationship therapist, ASAP. Okay. Here's a woman who has a hard time with doggy style.
What's hard about that?
You know, doggy style position.
I'm familiar with it, yes.
You know, it's funny. It's men's favorite. I'd say it's like the top position that men can finish in most easily. Would you agree? Or top three?
I don't know.
Not for you.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, a lot of men love it. A lot of men think it's just because you can get the deepest penetration in that position. So a lot of men like that. But here's Sarah. She's got issues with it. I love your podcast. My boyfriend and I have been having a hard time doing it doggy style. He's having a hard time staying in me. We have both done it before with other people, and I'm sure what the problem is. He's on the smaller side, and I do have a booty. Could that be the issue? Is there anything you could suggest to help us? I hope there's hope because I do love being in that position.
That poor bastard.
Well, okay. So there's an issue here. It's the combination of size and technique. So, you know, a weller-endowed man can hammer away in doggy style.
Weller-endowed.
Weller-endowed. He has a full range of motion. You know, he's more of an anchor inside you. But a smaller penis can still make doggy style work. So do not fret, Sarah. It's very pleasurably, I might add. But there needs to be less vigorous in and out. So he can't do the in and out. Totally fine. Let that go. But what causes... because that's what's causing him to slip out so frequently. So instead, suggest to him that he uses more of a hip movement. Have him swivel his hips while he's thrusting, keeping his pelvis closer to your back end. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense? Have him swivel his hips while he's thrusting, keeping his... So just don't have him go in and out, but he's more swiveling, okay?
Yeah.
Another good position, lay flat on your stomach on a bed or surface. Have him lay on top of you. So this limits his range of motion, so he'll have an easier time. You can
he's
also
well
put
anchored
a,
that way.
What?
He's like
he's
anchored.
More anchored, yeah. But you can also put a pillow underneath your pelvis, so you still have that angle. But you're lying
she's got
flat.
The big butt that she was talking about.
Yeah.
It's getting in the way.
Exactly. So just put like a little pillow under it. So and the reason why, you know, and also another thing that you can do is I'm not even gonna go there with this one. I just think that you should use a pillow and lie flat, and that also, yeah, limits his range. Oh, here's another thing. That position that I just talked about, laying down, creates a tighter space. So what that means is there's more friction for him, and then there's a better likelihood of him hitting your G-spot. Here's the other thing. One more thing about doggy style. I was just talking to Playboy magazine about this today, is that the thing about doggy style, for a lot of women, they can't have a G-spot orgasm until their clitoris is stimulated. And so this is a great opportunity for you to use a little clitoral vibrator. He can use his hands. You use your hands with lots of lube. Don't be shy about touching yourself and rubbing yourself, because for a lot of women, it's actually, they have them at the same time during this position. So it can be so much better. So try some of these tweaks and let me know how it goes.
And don't look over your shoulder and go, I think it's because you're too small.
Yeah,
my
he already
last
knows
boyfriends
he's
like, were bigger and it stayed in.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd
and then he opens
move.
The drawer and sees the Magnum. That is a bummer, but you know, she loves him, wants to work with it. I love it. Those are some good tricks. What's it called? Tricks, like in video games, like you learn that. What's it called when you're like...
Cheats. Yeah.
These are like cheats on how to have it better.
Sex Authentic cheats.
Tricks. Sex cheats. That actually should be my next book.
Not bad.
Okay. How are we all doing here?
Good
We're
luck.
Good okay.
luck with the little peen and the big butt there. Good luck.
Dude.
It's a tough one.
Do you have any friends who have confronted you and said, like, I'm worried about my penis size?
Mike Cather would every night.
Oh, dude, you're right. On Loveline. I'm on Loveline, you guys. We do Loveline. If you know what it is, check it out. It's a podcast. It's Sunday through Thursday, 10 to midnight. Check for your local affiliate. How do they find their local affiliates?
A lot of our markets actually are Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight.
Okay. LovelineShow.com.
But if you ever have LovelineShow.com. No, I think that might be a little dormant right now.
Oh, okay, whatever. Don't do that.
Turnover and this and that. We're getting that, but we're on Twitter and all that. This and that. You can find it.
What were you going to say?
It's like legendary show. It's been on for over 30 years.
30 years. Dr. Drew. We have a good time. I'm on Thursdays, so we'll do the Friday podcast.
For guys that think that they have small penises, I direct you, and everyone's seen the movie, but to The Hangover with Ken Jeong, who is a doctor. He's actually a real-life doctor. He's as smart and as schooled as Dr. Drew. Actually, I used to have him fill in for Dr. Drew on a daytime show that I produced with Dr. Drew back
really?
In the day, as well as Loveline. He filled in a few times on
Loveline. Oh, wow, okay.
Super nice guy. Really great guy. But Ken Jeong does have microphallus, and he shows it in, I believe it's a Hangover. I'm like 90%.
Okay,
hangover.
Like it he goes back,
naked.
It's like very small.
It's like, it looks
micro.
Like a thumb.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a baby's thumb. It looks very small. Anytime you're really feeling bad about it yourself, look for that. You can probably find GIFs of it online. There are people
and
you'll out
feel
there
much better about
smaller
yourself.
Penises than yourself.
Women are not as concerned about it as you are.
Plus, yeah, you're not my. You're not junk.
No, and also, like I talked about this in the show a few weeks ago, I believe, or all the time, that women. A study came out that showed that 80% of men are like worried about it. It's like one of their top concerns about their penis.
It's much deeper.
And only
40%
of women like care at all.
If you're
so
worried
can
about
you guys
penis,
just listen to that? Whatever. Do we need to get through you analytics? Do you need some visuals?
But if you're worried about your penis, chances are you're worried about something else and you're just kind of blaming it on the penis.
You think they're using
the penis
as a scapegoat?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, guys that are obsessed
membrane.
About their penis and the size of their penis, there's plenty of other issues that you're just avoiding and just focusing
so just
on the
transfer
penis.
To another issue and then you'll have better sex. Because you know what, again, that we talked earlier, the woman on the who called him, who we should take frigging callers, who wrote about their sex drive, is that our body issues and body image and worried about like how we look in bed, how we look naked, are one another big killer of our sex drives.
Emily.
Anderson, what?
You're a well-traveled sexual woman, right? Yeah. How many times, honestly, have you been really disappointed by the size of a penis?
Well-traveled. Hilarious. I was like, you mean my trip to Vietnam? How many times in my life have I been disappointed by the size of a penis? Like
where you're seeing it for the first time or you're feeling it for the first time and you're like, ah, shit.
You know, I can't even remember any time.
Yeah, see? Guys settled
down. No, and I was trying to think because I wanted to be really honest with everyone. So there was one guy who was small, but there was way other bigger problems. Well, that's
right?
A bummer. Yeah, so it wasn't about that. So, Anderson, tell me about Film Vault this week.
If you have a small dick and you're a selfish guy in bed.
Exactly.
Loser.
That was his thing. So I was like, ugh, why am I putting up with this? And you're not even like, you know. Here's the thing. Small penis too. You're known for a lot of them. Really great oral sex and pleasing a woman.
Yeah, you got to compensate. You got to overcompensate in other areas.
Okay. How are you? What? Tell me about Film Vault.
Last week, actually, we just did our 5-year anniversary episode. Which
congratulations.
The longtime listeners, I think they enjoyed it. We did a retrospect, looked back a lot. Now we're back to the meat and potatoes, what makes the show go. And this week, we did top 5 summer movie previews. So there's 140 movies coming out this summer, in between now and the end of summer.
What's the one you're most excited about?
And I went over, I think, around 10.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we, you know, I scoured all of them, read about all of them, looked up everything. This is the winter preview and the summer preview are the two that I put in a ton of research. So
but you can't see them yet, so you're just reading and then you're predicting?
Yeah, and we're predicting because we see who's in it. We see what the caliber of writer, director, and the track record. So usually we're pretty good. We're about 80%, maybe 90% for me. Sounded like a humble brag, but of the movies that I actually recommend, summer movies and winter movies, turn out to be great.
Like the movie Whisperer.
Last year, Guardians of the Galaxy, which no other than the actual real Comic-Con nerds were excited about, that was my number one most anticipated movie, and it ended up being like the smash hit of the summer.
Dude,
I didn't like it as
much
as
everyone. What a skill.
But, yeah.
Okay, so check out the Film Vault. Check out Anderson. And Anderson, okay, come see you guys again, May 15th, Hustler Hollywood. What?
And we talked about Roar. Roar is this crazy movie.
What's it about?
It's about 120 big cats, and they actually, and Melanie Griffith's in it. And it's from 1981, and they actually maimed 70 of the cast and crew. There was over 1,000 stitches administered.
It's being re-released?
Roar. It never got released in the United States
back
in the day.
Oh, that's so cool.
And now it's just seeing the light of day. I went into depth about Roar.
Okay, I love when you do that.
Okay.
Love it. All right, check it out.
12th and the 15th. Go see Emily.
Oh, yeah. 12. It's all on it's kind of on my website, social media. Follow me on Twitter. Sex with Emily, Facebook, Sex with Emily, Instagram, all that stuff. Just do it. If you like the show, it's kind of like you get me during the day. You get some funny little information, you get blogs, you get good shit. Okay, so everyone, thanks for listening to the show. Oh, we need interns. We're hiring be an intern. It's super fun. You get lots of sex toys and good times and free sex tips 24/7. Thanks so much. And also, do you like the show? Tell your friends about it. Friends don't let friends not have the best sex of your life, so tell them. And thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Hey, everyone. Okay, we're going to continue the conversation about penises just for another little second here, because some penises, they're all like snowflakes, just like vaginas. Some last longer than others. They look different. They're big, they're small, and not everyone lasts as long in bed as they can. During the show, we talked about sex drive and people's different times they want to have sex. There's also people, women take typically longer to orgasm during sex. Women take between 20 and 40 minutes, men 6 to 8 minutes, so that is an orgasm gap. Promescent is a quickly absorbing delay spray you put on your penis. No one has to know you're using it. Wait 10 minutes, and you will last twice as long as you last now. And sex will still feel amazing. It's the only FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation, but also just used to last longer in bed and have a good time so everyone gets theirs. You know what I'm saying? So go to promescent.com, Promescent. Thanks for listening. Love you.